Welcome to the third sermon in our sermon series entitled, One Neighborhood at a Time. Jesus commands us to love our neighbor, to serve others with compassion, and meet the tangible needs of others. When we seek to practice those actions right where we are, we begin to change the world, one neighborhood at a time. Today's sermon title, Too Busy to Neighbor. Open your Bible to Luke 10, verses 38 through 42. And let's begin.
O Lord, in Jesus Christ, you said to us, I don't call you servants, I call you friends. Pray that we could learn from the friendship of Christ and be better friends and neighbors to others. And I ask it in Christ's name, amen. Let's look at a painting together. We haven't looked at a painting for a while. You kind of like these paintings, don't you, church? Come on. That was weak. I feel like I missed the putt. This painting is done by Renoir. He painted it in 1881. The Impressionist movement began in the 1870s. So the whole idea of Impressionist painting wasn't new. The painting is called Luncheon of the Boating Party, and it's actually, the restaurant is called, okay, I know this isn't good French, but I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. I do the best I can. The Maison Fournice. Or something similar there too. And it's a restaurant that had a barge on the river. And so people would sail their boats up to the barge and they would have lunch on the barge. And in this painting, Renoir painted his friends. I'll point some of them out to you. If you look at the front of the painting, there's a lady with a hat on the left side, and she's got a little dog. You see her? That's Renoir's fiancée, and he marries her a couple years after this painting. If you look across the table, there's a guy in a white sleeveless shirt and a straw hat. He's a painter, and he's a friend of Renoir's. The lady who the man is bending over, she's an actress. If you look right behind her, there's a lady having a sip of wine. She's an actress. And if you look at the top right-hand side, you'll see another lady, and she's an actress. Renoir had three lady friends who were actresses in Paris. If you look at the man and the lady who are leaning up against the rail, the man is standing up and he has a straw hat on, and the girl is leaning over and she has a straw hat on. Those are the owner's children who work at the restaurant, and they're Renoir's friends. And so, because they're his friends, he painted them into the picture. If you look at the very back of the painting, there's a guy who looks a little out of place. He's got a top hat on, and he's wearing a formal black leather, a black suit coat, and he's looking away from everyone else. Art critic. Is maybe Renoir saying, you don't fit into this group so well. The thing that's really fascinating about this painting is, in my imagination, Renoir set his easel up there while they were having lunch and painted this. But that's not what happened at all. Because these are his friends, he invited them over to his studio and he painted them one by one into the painting. they sat in his studio and he painted this painting one person after another. Because they were his friends, they just shared that time with him. This painting is a picture of friendship, but it's also friendship in action. Do you see that? So far as I know, this painting has been sold one time in 1923, and it was sold for the equivalent of, in today's money, $125,000, and it hangs in an art gallery in Washington, D.C., where thousands of people go by and look at it all the time. Luke tells us a story about friendship. And it feels as personal as this painting. Luke writes in his gospel, "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listen to his teaching." Could we open some curtains today? Let a little light in this place. Thank you. This passage is interesting because this is the only time it occurs in the whole New Testament that a lady invited Jesus over for lunch. If you read the Gospels, it wasn't uncommon for men to invite Jesus over for lunch, but this is the only time that a lady invited Jesus to come to lunch. Martha was that kind of woman. She's probably what we would call today a take charge kind of woman. And we're going to see that come out in her because you see the tension at the very beginning of the story. Martha invited Jesus over for lunch. Mary had a different agenda. Mary wanted to give Jesus her full attention. Martha just wanted to serve a perfect lunch. And it created a problem between them. Martha couldn't have known it, but about a year from this lunch, Jesus would eat lunch at their house again. And John, in his gospel, tells us about the second lunch Jesus had at their house. And listen to the story. 6 days after the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. And so they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served. This sounds very much like the lunch we're going to study. Here we are at Martha's house again. They're having lunch, and Martha is at the head of making sure that lunch goes well. Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Leave her alone so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me." I want to make this point. There is a time to serve, and there's a time not to serve and just give someone your full attention. You get this? In a good friendship, there is a time where you put your energy into serving someone. But it's equally important in a good friendship that we have times where instead of being distracted by service, we just give someone our full attention. At this dinner, Mary doesn't serve, she gives Christ her full attention. There is coming a dinner when Mary serves in an incredibly self-sacrificing way. As this goes on, Martha starts getting frustrated. Martha is not the kind of woman that permits the dinner to go in a way that she didn't plan. In her head, she had jobs for Mary to be doing, and Mary wasn't doing them, and she was getting frustrated about it. And Luke tells us Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to Jesus and said to him, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to get off her butt and help me." That is the modern Dave translation. Can you feel the frustration in Martha? Martha had a good plan in her head, and she was working hard to serve her guest. Her self-image was all wrapped up in how this dinner went, and if everything didn't go perfectly, her self-image would suffer. I'm not picking on Martha. I identify with Martha. It's a whole lot easier for me to serve than to sit around and pay attention to somebody. Are there any ADD children left in the world? Some of you ladies in this room, you know the tension. You know the tension of wanting to do a good dinner and things not going the way you want them to go. Hopefully you're off the hook today, moms. We're going to take care of things. Brothers, I hope you are. If you aren't, you repent to God quickly that your sins may be blotted out in the day of refreshing. I do have to say, though, brothers, when we prepare lunch, there's just not that much tension. Brothers? We're going to throw some chicken on the grill. We're going to do our best to get it grilled right. If it isn't, we'll throw it back on. There's going to be a salad there. I'm going to get some cake, and there'll be a little wine drinking at this. But I can sympathize with the pressure that Martha felt to do a good dinner. She felt like that's what it meant to be a good friend. And it wasn't going the way she wanted it to go. I wonder how often we fall into Martha's model of being a friend to Christ. All service, no devotion. We're going to have a service day next Saturday. I pray that you sign up and we just do a good job of helping needy people. It will be a blessing to your soul. But let me tell you something. If you have time to serve, but you never have time to quietly give Christ your full attention, you're misunderstanding what it means to be a friend of Christ. Church, there has to be moments in our life when we sit down and we're quiet, and we give Christ our full attention. He cares more about you than what you can do for him. Would you let me say that to you one more time, church? Christ cares more about you than he cares about what you can do for him. And so when you sit quietly and give him your full attention, you are offering him the friendship that he most values. Martha felt a raging sense of annoyance with Mary. Mary felt it important to give Christ her full attention. Martha wanted Mary to serve Christ. Is it possible to be a good friend? We have to have both life skills. Serving when we should serve and just giving our full attention when we should just give our full attention. Church, is it possible that both of those things are necessary? Stephen Covey, in his great book about the habits of successful people, says, most of us spend too much time on what is urgent and not enough time on what is important. Can you see yourself in that? We spend too much time on what we feel like is urgent in the moment and not nearly as much time as what is really important in the moment. Martha's frustration reaches a level so high, she starts barking orders at Christ. He's her guest, right? She invited him over. Now her frustration is so high, she's barking orders at Christ. Lord, this isn't the classic word kurios. It is the more unusual word that means commander or master. What if I read it that way? Commander, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Command her to help me. Can you hear what Martha asked the Lord? Do you not care? Do you hear her real question? Do you care about me? Church, that is at the core of every friendship. Do you care about me, or am I only convenient for something you want at this time in your life? Church, how many of you have had friends that you thought you were they were your friend, but it turned out they didn't really care about you? You were just a convenient person in their life at that time. Church, and when you weren't convenient anymore, they weren't available anymore. Church, how many has ever felt used by a person? They manipulated you with friendship, didn't they? They just used you. See, what Martha says is what every friend really asks in their heart. Do you care about me? Church, and if we're going to be authentic friends, we have to be ready to answer that question honestly. Do I really care about this person? Do I really care? The next thing Martha said is, my sister is selfish and won't do what I say. This is another flaw in friendship. Do your friends have to do what you say? Are you a tyrant? You say, oh no, of course not, of course not. All right, let me push on this a little bit. If you are a Republican, do you have any Democratic friends? If you're a Democrat, do you have any Republican friends? Oh, Doc, you're going too far now. See what we do? We're tyrants, and we say to our friends, you have to think the way I think. And if you don't, you're not acceptable to me. Does anybody see the flaw in that, church? What we're saying is, you're my friend if you do what I say. But if you don't do what I say, you can't be my friend. Look, I pity anybody whose only friends are Republicans and Democrats. I do pity you. How about having a friend with somebody who doesn't care at all? It's kind of a breath of fresh air, isn't it? I want to see the cable news channel that says, I don't care at all. Yeah. See, here's what I'm saying. Friendship isn't based on us coercing the people around us to be like us. If it is, it's not a true friendship. True friendship says, you see life different than I do. And if you want to be wrong, that's fine. I'll still be your friend. All right, I'm being sarcastic, right? We can have a little sarcasm, can't we? Church, can we have friendships that say, this friendship is not based on you agreeing with me in everything, because sometimes life is more interesting if I listen to how other people see things and not just look for people who agree with me about everything. Church? Who doesn't think that would make the world a little bit better place? Okay, send your nasty emails to... 4. Listen what she says. I'm the only one doing good. I am the only one doing good. Some of us have said that too, right? I'm the only one at work who does what's right. Anybody? You ever thought that? I'm the only one in my family who's doing it right. Parents, how about this? How about this when you have to listen to somebody telling you they've figured out parenting and you have to do it exactly how they do it? Annoying. In 1832, this is how we raise kids. Huh? Hey, look, they swatted me when I went to school. I don't want teachers swatting any kids. Teachers, you're wonderful people, but I got swatted. It wasn't fair. It was an angry teacher beating on some kid's butt who wouldn't sit and be still. I don't think it's good for kids. Okay. Teachers, those are the ones you can swat their kids. They don't mind. Don't swat my kids. I don't send them to school to be swatted. Church. I don't think good things happen when we think we're the only one who's doing good. Church. Something falls apart when we think I'm the only one who has it figured out. If everybody would just do it like I'm doing it, everybody would be doing it good and right. Look, I guessed about raising my kids. There's the truth. And thank God, Sharon and I guessed right. When I was wrong, she would guess right. And when she was wrong, I would guess right. Any other parents? All right, maybe I do belong here. The last thing she says, talk to Mary so she will focus on me instead of you. Do you hear that's what Martha's saying? Martha's saying, I don't want Mary giving her full attention to you. I want her to give her full attention to me. I have an agenda here. There is a dinner to serve, and I have work for her to do. Church? Is it possible that in some of our friendships, we demand too much attention? Just asking. Here is the challenge of neighboring and being a good friend. Martha demanded that the visit conform to her expectation instead of what was actually best for those around her in the moment. Now, this is a big teaching point. You've daydreamed, come home to me. Come home. This is an important point. In your friendships, do you set expectations and then demand that the moments conform to the expectations? Or do you say, I'm going to give somebody my full attention in this moment, and because I've given them my full attention, I'll know how to be a better friend to them by what I hear them saying and doing. Church? Can you see, if I put expectations, this is what good friendship means. This is what it doesn't mean. And I'm going to do everything I can to make all my friendship moments like this. I'm gonna end up messing it up. On the other hand, if I can set my expectations aside for a few minutes and I can just give somebody my full attention, I can just give them my full attention and really listen to what they're saying and feeling, my chances of being a good friend in that moment go way up. Church? So remember Martha's question, do you care? Now listen at Jesus' answer. Can you feel the frustration in the room? Martha is so frustrated, she's shouting at Jesus. People are feeling uncomfortable. There's tension. Listen at Jesus. Can you hear his tone? Martha, Martha. Good friendship and good neighboring requires a gentle and caring tone. When Jesus said Martha's name in a caring way, something happened in her heart. You hear that? Listen, there's something powerful here. There's something powerful when you say to your friend their name in a caring tone. Huh? Who can remember when your mom called your name and you knew you were in trouble? Huh? Just said your name, but the way she said it, you knew the fleece water's coming out. Huh? Something beautiful happens when we say our friend's name to them in a caring way. Huh? My best friend Sharon can say my name in a way that makes me feel like I am the Sultan of the universe. Huh? Have you heard it? Have you heard that in the voice of a friend? He says, you are anxious and troubled. Good friendship recognizes the struggles of others. Listen what Jesus does. Jesus says, Martha, I do care about you. And right now, I know how much anxiety you have, and I know how frustrated you are. I know it, and I care. Do you ever share that with a friend? I know, I sense what you're going through right now, and I care. Church? Are you a one-upper? Your friend says to you, I had a bad lunch. I think I got food poisoning. You go, you think you have it bad? I ate broken glass for 3 weeks. You know those kind of people? You say, oh, I had a rough day at work. You think you had a rough day at work? I was in the salt mines and they whipped us all day long. You know those kind of people? Anything that's, you, all right. Don't be that person. Right? Yeah. All right. One thing is necessary. Martha, Martha, you're frustrated about many things, but there's really one thing that's necessary. In good friendships, we say, let's put first things first. The friendship is more important than the service. The friendship is more important than somebody being frustrated about things they shouldn't be frustrated about. The friendship is more important, right? Let's put first things first. Good friendship means saying, in this moment, what is most needed and what is most useful? See, I set down my expectations, I listen and give my full attention, and then I ask myself two questions. What is most needed in this moment, and what is most useful? Now I'm ready to be a good friend. Church? I paid a lot of money to learn this, brothers, and I'm going to give it to you for free. I paid a lot of money to learn this. Sometimes what is most necessary and what is most useful is to say nothing at all. Brothers, I'm giving you a freebie here. Sometimes giving your wife your full attention and none of your advice is the most useful and needed thing in the moment. Free. You go to a counselor, they're going to charge you a lot of money for that. Brothers, ladies, don't listen to this. Pay full attention and then say to yourself, my mantra, never miss a good chance to shut up. My mind responds to that. My mind gets it. I listen, and all of a sudden my mind starts saying, spit out this advice, spit out that advice, tell her this, comfort her, it's not so bad, don't do it, run in the kitchen and bang your head on the refrigerator twice, don't do it. It's not needed, and it's not useful. Brothers, I just saved your soul from many a sorrows. Then Jesus said to Martha, Mary has chosen the good portion. Good friendship is modeled by Mary when she gives her full attention to her guest. And finally, Jesus says, Mary's chosen a good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Christ valued Mary's choice to give him her full attention. It felt like friendship to him. Church, when we give our full attention to someone, not for the purpose of making them do what we want, not for the purpose of manipulating them, not for the purpose of making them meet our expectation, but when we give our full attention to someone, just because they are our friend, we've given them an awesome gift, church. The best thing about the future is that it comes one day at a time. Abraham Lincoln. I need to hear that. There have been many times in my life when I wasn't this kind of friend, church. Too rambunctious, too verbose. That's a way of saying I missed a lot of good chances to shut up. Church, if you be this kind of friend, you will be an unusual friend in the world. This kind of friendship is rare. And that's why Luke tells us this story in his gospel. Here is Jesus Christ saying, I'm not only going to save your eternal soul, I'm going to teach you what good friendship looks like. I want to show you what the Maison Fournice looks like today. It's still there, sitting right there on the Seine River. Without Renoir's friends on the boat, it doesn't look so interesting, does it? It looks pretty plain. Fact is, I can't imagine that parked anywhere at Marblehead where my little summer place is. I can't imagine it parked there. With no friends on it, it doesn't look very interesting, does it? Huh? You know what? That's the parable of life. If you organize your life in the kind of way that you can't build solid friendships, you're going to live a kind of plain and ugly life. Church. But if you figure out this incredible Christian skill of friendship, you're going to be painting a painting in life like Renoir's. There's going to be interesting people around you. You're going to be giving full attention to interesting people, and interesting people are going to be giving you full attention. And the quality of your life and influence is going to go up. Can you hear it? Our dear Heavenly Father, I pray that I could absorb this teaching of Jesus Christ. I pray that my unhealthy friendship skills would pass away, and they would all be replaced with healthy friendship skills. I pray that I could learn from the friendship between Christ and Mary and Martha. And I pray that I could be a better friend and a better neighbor, and you could receive the honor and glory from it. I pray the same thing for all my good friends who are at church today. Would you bless each one of us with this new skill? In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.